on FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. Radio
Newark. Hey, hey, and welcome to another one of our podcast recording covering all things mental health and today well-being. So remember that the objective of these podcasts is to make mental health more understandable, more accessible, and hopefully to get people to a place where they can be a little bit happier in life and enjoy life a little bit more. I have a guest in the studio. My guest is the lovely local girl, Helen Rowe. Helen, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for being here.
Good.
So you're from Pure Yoga.
Yes.
Tell people about Pure Yoga. What do you do?
So Pure Yoga is, I teach yoga out of Spectrum Wellness and Performance Centre, which is based on Fernwood. That's my home of yoga now. Previously, I was going from community centre to community centre, but just wanted a place to call home for my business. So started working with Paul. I've known him for years.
Yeah.
And a great guy to work alongside because I feel I have that real backup of knowledge from Paul. So
yeah.
The two work lovely together.
They're quite, because I was, as you know, I was with Paul the other week having some ports of Paul's. How did you say Paul's surname?
Farquharson, I believe.
Okay. I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, it's not the easiest. I can't spell it.
So I was having some physio with Paul the other week and he called you in.
He did, yes.
Just, and the idea was that you were going to do me, you haven't yet, but we are going to do that. I promise I will contact you. So the idea was that you were going to do me a bespoke little yoga session to help me with my hips, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. So I do some range of movement tests and stability tests just to work out where the problem areas are in your body. And then basically put something together for you to work with at home. So it's for people who just want like a 10 or 15 minute practice.
Yeah.
Not necessarily going out to a studio, but just something they can do to either help injury prevention, to cure an injury sometimes, and to get better range of movement, so therefore becoming a little bit more supple in the body, and being able to move more functionally.
Brilliant.
Better mobility.
So we're going to talk a little bit today about the connection between the mind and the body. Now, this many, many years ago, in fact, I heard somebody say the other, I must learn to finish a sentence. I'm terrible at not finishing a sentence. I finished it in my head, but not out loud. So somebody was talking to me the other day about they didn't get the connection between the mind and the body. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize that we were still in that place where people weren't quite connecting it. I mean, there's studies now to show that the, I don't know whether you've heard this, you probably have, about the stomach and how the stomach is like a second mind and we feel things in the stomach and that's where we get our intuition. You know, when we almost like get a message, but we feel it in our stomach and we just go, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
He says, touching his stomach and it just, but we ignore it. We ignore it, but actually it's really powerful if we can listen to that.
Well, there's a lot to be said about that gut feeling.
Yes.
And it does totally connect that mind to your body.
Yeah.
If you've got a real strong feeling, it will come into the stomach, definitely.
Yeah.
You'll either get butterflies if it's excitement, or it will churn if it's nervous. Basically, that's just your sort of two different nervous systems, really. Parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system. If you've got fear, it'll be in that flight and fight mode.
Yeah.
If you're feeling quite relaxed, the rest and digest mode. So, you know, your mind and body, if it comes to food, if you feel nervous, you don't want to eat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally connected. It's something that people underestimate, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, completely. So just to clarify that part there, if we get nervous, the flight mode kicks into play. We don't want to eat because the body goes, we don't need any more weight. We need to move as quickly as possible.
Yes.
That's it in a nutshell, yeah?
Pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously your adrenaline kicks in, the cortisol kicks in. Adrenaline being the one that sends blood to the muscles to allow, obviously, for you to get out of a situation. And the cortisol is where the blood sugar gets involved, drawn from the liver, so the glucose. So that brings you up to a real heightened sort of performance. So
that's energy then?
Yeah, totally energy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great to have that if you're in a dangerous situation, But sometimes you need to bring yourself down from that as well, because if you're constantly in that flight and fight mode, stress levels are high, anxiety, depression start all coming into play. So we have to learn to know how to bring ourselves down from that and find a focus on something that will help us do that. And quite often that can be physical exercise.
So physical, if I'm working with clients and I sense that their flight or fight mode is kind of dialed up, want of another phrase, sometimes I'll suggest running or exercise or even just walking. It doesn't have to be anything overly physical. Having a really good walk is perfect. Yeah. And the reason I do that is because I'm kind of wanting them to burn off some energy, because I get this sense there's too much energy around. And whilst there's too much energy, we are dialed up. Our thoughts are dialed up. The voices in our head are dialed up and much, much louder and unhealthier as well. So I'll say, go and burn off some energy. Please just go and burn off some energy. Yeah. For you, if thinking about the connection between the stomach and the and mental health, what would happen if, I don't know, somebody's had a really big weekend on... he says laughing because it's the weekend following New York Festival. And we were both there.
We were both there.
But
we witnessed both these.
but very well behaved. No, we weren't. So what happens if you've had a weekend of heavy alcohol and junk food, pizzas, chips, all of the rest of it? What happens? How do you think it affects us?
Well, our bodies are just on absolute full alert. We just need to be able to know how to, because quite often if I've had alcohol, I find that I get quite anxious, I get a little bit fluttery. So for me, my personal reaction to that would be to start doing some breathing exercises. Yeah. Being a yoga teacher, my way of getting out of all that kind of stuff would be to get on the mat.
Yeah.
Getting on the mat for me is the place I take myself to calm myself down.
Yeah.
It gives me a physical movement, but it also gives me a place where I can focus.
Yeah.
I can come back within my body. I sort of start to read my body better when I'm doing slow movements.
Yeah.
So for me, absolute yoga is key to bringing myself back into that calm and rested place.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. And I think for me, so where was I the other week? We were out somewhere the other week, and again, it was a heavy night, and we went to the gym the next day, and actually it was the most perfect place for me to be because I burnt off some energy, I got a sweat on, so it felt like it shifted everything in my body quite quickly. And even this morning I was at the gym, and I'm at a new gym now, and it's got this lovely view, and I was doing some stretches at the end, and I was just able to do this stretch and look out at these trees and almost go kind of into a little bit of a zone. So I just really closed my mind down as I was doing this stretch. Then I did the other side. And actually, again, it was just perfect to pull me back into that place where I go, okay, now I feel quite centered.
Well, you've probably had that vision of something, of nature as well, with you saying you're looking out the window. The movement of the trees is quite natural.
Yeah.
The stretching exercises will just help your body come out of contraction, or probably if you're feeling tight or uptight, you'll carry that in your shoulders. Quite often your shoulders are lifted, you'll feel tight through the hips. So the whole body gets affected really from being anxious or overstimulated. So it's taking out that stimulation sometimes. Sometimes you need to switch out from sounds, sights, you know, all that, your five senses.
Yeah.
So if you can take yourself into a one-point focus, which for you that day was the gym, and just that vision of the outside, you know, that's a good place to take yourself because it makes everything else disperse.
Yeah.
I mean, another one for me would be to go out cycling.
Yeah.
You know, just feeling that momentum of the pedals, you know, the cadence, the turnover of the feet, and just being out in nature, the smell of fresh air, the breeze, everything, you know, it's just all switching down from that hyper weekend, basically. So,
do you think as humans we are experiencing more stress and anxiety than ever before?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I have people come to my yoga classes who they have no idea how to switch themselves down from the day's work. And quite often they'll turn up quite het up.
Yeah.
And it's great to see at the end when we've taken them. With yoga, we do a warm-up. It's like a pyramid, basically. Yeah. We warm them up, we get them to a peak pose, we bring them back down. So at the end of class, they walk away having had a physical movement practice, a breathing practice, a warm-up, a cool-down, and total relaxation and switch off. And to see them at the end of class compared to the beginning of class is, it's quite mind-blowing, really.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the hardest things for me to accept when I became a teacher, that you feel, sometimes you feel like you're a puppeteer.
Yeah.
You're getting these people to move and you're changing what they're feeling inside.
Yeah.
Just purely through being a calm instructor, giving them cues, giving them ideas, ways just to bring themselves back down from a busy day. You know, their stresses of jobs, sitting at desks. I work with corporate companies sometimes. I work with an architect's company and, you know, they're sat at desks all day. Their hips are tight.
Yeah.
Their shoulders are tight. Their heads are just like full of information.
Yeah.
And you just need to switch that off sometimes. And the only way to do that, I believe, is to have some form of physical movement away from what they do on a daily basis, because they are in a very static position most of the day. So hip flexors will feel tight. They'll have lower back issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just constant. You know, the bodies are going through stress, even just being sat down.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be crazy wild all the time. They can be sat down and feel sore. They can be sat down and the head can be busy. So, you know, to have people in class and see that end result is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. You were talking then about kind of creating that space through movement. There's two things about being still. So sometimes if I'm working with a client and I try and create that stillness for them, because I'm like, you know, your energy's a little bit high, so we're just going to close our eyes. And for some people, that is really frightening.
Mm.
Like, when you take them to that place, I remember once working with somebody and I asked them to close their eyes, and within about 3 seconds, they're in tears because closing their eyes just brought back this trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that wasn't such a great place to go to.
Yeah.
But I work with a lot of clients that go, I've got to stay busy, and I've got to do this, because they know that as soon as they stop, their mind will then kick in and then start filling their heads with all of the thoughts that they've been racing around trying to avoid.
Yeah.
And when I say, well, we're gonna work out how to clear your mind, kind of, when I was much, much younger, I used to do this meditation where I used to imagine the mind as a stage, and thoughts would kind of come and go across the stage.
Yeah.
And every time one would come, I'd just ignore it and it would just go off the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about keeping the stage as clear as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And the longer that I could do that, the calmer I became. But actually, what I said to people now is it's practiced. You have
it
to
is.
Practice. Because the mind will automatically, when you try and do that, having not done it, the mind will say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Because it's used to doing something else. Say, or panic and go, don't do that.
Yeah.
Why is he trying to get you to do that? And I say, you have to keep doing it. So even if we're going to do 10 seconds, and then we're going to do 20 seconds, and then we're going to do 30, and we keep building it up from there, before you know it, you're doing 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you can sit very, very still. But just to remember that the mind will fight it in the beginning, because it's not used to it.
Well, when I'm teaching some meditation techniques, I sometimes work with, say, the sky.
Yeah.
So clouds. We know clouds are always going to come and they're always going to go.
Yeah.
You know, they'll pass us. So I always say, treat your thoughts like clouds.
Yeah.
They're going to come. Don't try and fight them coming, because you can't stop them.
Yeah.
Accept them. Don't judge them.
Yeah.
And then just bring a focus to something else. Bring a focus, which we use a lot, is the breath.
Yeah.
So when we bring it back to the breathing, before you know it, that cloud's gone past.
Yeah.
But that's not to say another one's not going to come.
Yeah.
But don't get agitated by it. Watch it. Look at it. Don't judge it. Go back to another focus. It might even be down to candle gazing. That might be a focal point. and before you know it, it's gone again.
Yeah.
So, but they will keep coming. There will always be thoughts coming in and out because you can't control that. You know, we're human at the end of the day. And that's part of our makeup. But it's whether you get locked into that thought and start getting anxious about that thought. That might happen as well, but let that happen.
Yeah.
You know, we constantly try and fight things not to happen that are out of our control. So, you know, it's all about knowing that we're human, just trying to have little tools in the toolbox to yeah. deal with them, really.
And sometimes, you know, it is, I say this to a lot of clients, it's the smallest of changes that bring about the biggest difference.
Yeah.
It's always in, I can't remember who I was saying this to, it's always in the nuance.
Yeah.
I was working with somebody the other day, and this particular person couldn't find space in their week for themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what are you doing this afternoon? Well, I'm going to work until, I don't know, 1 or 2. And I said, so how about after that you get in the car and drive down to Beaver and go to the fuel tank, which is a really cool little place,
yeah.
and sit and have a coffee on your own? And this client went, oh, yeah. I says, well, what's stopping you? And the client went, nothing. I says, well, do it then. And as the client left the door, the client was like, I'm going to Beaver. And I went, good.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just need somebody else to go, well, why don't you do this?
Mm.
Well, I had not thought about that.
Yeah.
It's like, why aren't you just getting in the car and driving down there? Because it's not in their range of thoughts at that
no.
point.
No. Oh, I love a coffee shop.
I
I'm
do.
Always in them on yeah. my own.
Coffee and cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've talked about this before. So there's an exercise that I do called Watch My Oxygen. And oxygen is, you know, when you're on an aeroplane and they say, if the oxygen mask falls, you must take your own oxygen first.
Yeah.
And I'll say this to clients and I'll say, why do they say that? And they go, not sure. I'm like, well, maybe it's because if you don't take your own oxygen, you're going to pass out.
Mm.
So you can't then help other
exactly.
people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why they say it. I mean, mm-hmm. That's why they say it. So we do this exercise called What's My Oxygen? Oxygen. So I broke it down into 4 different areas: daily oxygen, weekly oxygen, monthly oxygen, and yearly oxygen. Because at first I was like, just give me 10 pieces of your own oxygen. I was like, that's not detailed enough. Because sometimes we need daily oxygen.
Yeah.
So for me, daily might be going to the gym, might be walking the dogs, might be having coffee and cake somewhere.
Yeah.
Yearly, we're usually looking at breaks, holidays,
yeah.
things like that. But it helps people really, really identify them. And
yeah.
sometimes I'll give people this exercise and they'll have no idea what I'm talking about or what their oxygen is.
Yeah.
Like no clue whatsoever.
Because they're not used to looking after themselves.
Yeah.
They have no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
They're always so keen on running around either after children, which children do need looking after. But as you said, if you don't look after yourself, you can't actually do a good job of looking after others. So it's a selfless act.
Yeah,
not selfish one.
Completely. You can't be that best version.
No, exactly.
We were talking about thoughts then. I just wanted to stay on there for a second because you said we are human, we will get thoughts. So I'm going to slightly challenge you on that.
Okay.
So I've got this comparison that I use. Do you use Facebook?
Yes.
So you know, and I might have done this in another podcast, but I'll do it again because for me it's quite interesting. You know when we scroll through Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
And it starts picking up our algorithm.
Yeah.
So we pause at somebody and we get more of the same person. Or we pause at an advert and then we get more of the same advert. Well, I think our thoughts are the same. So
yeah.
our thoughts will go across our head. So it could be a label that was stuck on us when we were 5-year-old that we're stupid, or it could be anything. And they will always float across our heads. We get the choice, like you said, whether we engage in the thoughts or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I might get a thought that goes across my head saying, you're rude, you're uninteresting, you're stupid, whatever it is. But I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to engage in it. The less I engage with it, the less it will appear.
Yeah.
A little bit like Facebook.
Yeah.
So when we say we have no control over our thoughts, we kind of do. Only
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah.
Because as we engage with them less, we will get less of
yeah.
that particular thought. It's the same as a Facebook algorithm.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
almost identical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, actually, yeah.
And if we engage in it and go, yeah, I am stupid, and this is why I'm stupid, and then it gets bigger and bigger, and then
yeah.
we get more of the same.
Yeah.
So see it, and what you said again was right, we can't stop ourselves from seeing it, but we get a choice over whether we engage in it or not.
Yes, definitely.
That's the choice,
yeah.
and every day is full of choices.
Yeah, 100%.
And we can only see that, going back to something you said earlier, if we create these moments of calm and stillness and start, I guess, reading ourselves a little bit more.
Yeah. Creating some toolboxes and tools in the toolbox to deal with these things that keep coming into my mind.
Everybody does it differently, don't they?
They do, definitely.
Not everybody wants to go and run around a gym or do yoga or go for a walk, but everybody will have their own things.
Yeah.
And none of it's right or wrong. There's just difference.
Yeah.
And you have to find your own way of creating what feels right for you.
Yeah. And I think reading quite a lot of books that are out now, the self-help books, I think they're a great thing to do, you know, because there are so many ideas. You can either choose them or not.
Yeah.
But I think reading about mindfulness and how the mind works and all the different waves in the mind that happen, or your beta, your alphas, and, you know, different ways of taking yourself into different waves.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I've put that across right. So I was in Yoga Nidra, we obviously work with the different alpha waves, betas, and they're all about your subconscious and conscious mind and where we take ourselves. So there are tools out there to use, definitely. And it's just finding the one that's right for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just has to be. Because I could, you were talking about reading then. And I remember somebody saying the other week, if this stuff doesn't resonate, then leave it.
Mm.
But don't fight it. If these words aren't for you right now, then they're not for you. And I delivered a workshop and I said exactly the same at the beginning of the workshop. Some of this stuff will resonate. And it'll sit with you. Some of it will bounce off you. If it bounces off you, just let it go. Because that message isn't yours at that point.
Yeah.
So just let it go.
Yeah.
But some of it will resonate completely.
Yeah.
For me, you have to be just in the right place at the right time to receive different messages from different areas. So even if you read a book and you only digest a third of it, half of it, a quarter of it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If that third or a quarter does some good, then that's great.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a book in mind?
So I relate quite a lot to the Yoga Sutras.
Okay.
Which probably to some people wouldn't really be that understandable, but it's a book that it's like the yoga diary, really.
Yeah.
You can pick it up at any time and open at any page.
Yeah.
And that sutra, that thread, there's 192 of them, will always be what you're feeling at the time and a way of dealing with how you're feeling at the time. So quite often I'll pick up my Yoga Sutra, just open it on one page, and I can work with that thread.
Yeah.
And it will help me deal with whatever I'm dealing with at the time.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love books like that. I love books that you can just pick up and flick.
Yeah.
And just read whatever's there.
Yeah, definitely.
And somehow it just needs to, it just feels like it fits or it resonates in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant. I love that. So what else would you say about the connection between the mind and the body?
So, again, going back to yoga, we work with koshas. So they're five layers of the body.
Yeah.
So I put them in like a Russian doll format.
Yeah.
So we have five Russian dolls, all one inside the other. First one being the physical body. Second one being the energetic body, so the breath, prana, you know, longevity, what fills the body. Third one being the mental body.
Yeah.
Fourth one being the intuition body, so the place we find our wisdom. And the fifth one being the blissful place.
Yeah.
And you have to work through all five of them to get to that blissful state. So the physical body is obviously the bones, the skin, the blood, everything that's what you can see.
Yep.
The energetic body is the breath. The breath fills the body with air and makes it the shape it is.
Yep.
The mental body is where all your mindful stuff happens, and it's where your senses are. The intuition body is when you've broken down with those three, you can find some wisdom. And then the blissful place is where you can get into that place of feeling you, the true you.
Yeah.
So the physical body, we would do pranayama practice. We'd do the asana practice. That's the poses.
Yep.
So the actual physical movement. The prana is the breath work. And then the mind stuff is where we would actually try and switch off all the outside stimuli, so our five senses. The intuition, when you've switched off those five senses, comes because you haven't got a busy mind.
Yeah.
So it opens up everything that's intuitive to you and makes you make good choices.
Well, you find a space that that can happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Peaceful.
Peaceful place, yeah. And using breath work is one of the biggest things, I think. You know, if you're anxious, your breath is very erratic.
Yeah.
You breathe quite high up in the chest. You don't use your diaphragm properly. Mm-hmm. Therefore, your digestive system doesn't work as well. So if you can learn to breathe properly and deep into the belly and use your diaphragm, as they say, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
So good full breathing.
Yeah.
Is key, really, because that will bring down your flight and fight mode anyway. So, I mean, we do a lot of alternate nostril breathing. We do longer exhales than inhales.
Yeah.
We do what we call a Kapalabhati breathing, which is like abdominal breathing, where you can work at contracting the abdominals.
Is that the fast one?
Yeah.
What's the, yeah.
Yeah, the real sharp exhales.
Yeah.
So you take a deep breath in and then you'll exhale for probably 20, real sharp, quick breaths.
What's the one where you kind of, you go and you do it through the nose, but you're in and out really quickly?
That's Kapalabhati breathing.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So Shining Skull, it's called.
Okay.
It's supposed to clear the mind, clear the eyes, clear the head. Yeah.
Breathworks are amazing, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anybody local teaching breathworks? Do you teach breathworks?
I teach breathworks in my practice, We tend to have about 10 minutes at the beginning of practice working with breath first, and we'll change the breath work week in, week out. I don't do a practice solely on breath work. That's part of calming people down from their busy day, actually, to get them ready for the movement. And we do what we call a Ujjayi breathing as well, which is a slight restriction at the back of the throat. We use the nose for breathing in yoga. Because it's the best cleansing practice you can have with all the little hairs that are up the nose. That clears all the pollution, basically. And having that slight restriction at the back of the throat, for one, it's audible. So you can help the breath and body move together. And it's also a warming breath, so it helps warm you internally. So, yeah, loads of breathing practices within my classes. I love teaching them. I just think they're so important to movement, because if you don't breathe properly, you can see when somebody's not breathing properly. They're either shaking or holding the breath. And that has already, it's made them go into tightness throughout the muscles. So they'll get tight in the shoulders. The shoulders will be lifted, or they won't move as fluently.
Breath's really powerful. And the, I think, obviously we breathe all the time, but if we, and again, I say this to clients all the time, go away and Google some breathing techniques. Do it yourself, learn it yourself. Because it's, on a very simplistic level, we can. We can do that, but it can literally reset the mind if we just do some deep breathing. But I think people, because I've given this to loads and loads of clients, where I might teach them some deep breathing. I'll say, right, you're going to do that, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times a day, just intermittently, go to the bathroom, do some deep breathing, go back to your work. And it'll just help keep resetting. And then they come back the next week and they say, I'm really anxious. And I'm like, are you doing your breathing? No. Why? Well, I don't know. And you can kind of see that it's because they're going, are you seriously going to ask me to breathe to get rid of this anxiety? I'm like, yeah. Simple. It's that simple. We do the breathing to kind of almost reset or calm down the anxiety, but then we work out why, where the anxiety has come from. We might look at early trauma, childhood, all different things, but we need to find out where it's come from. But yeah, breathing is that simple. And a lot of people get confused and say, am I really paying you all this money to tell, and you're going to tell me to breathe? Yes. Because because it's that simple. Go for a walk. Half an hour outside every day will help you reset. And when I say outside, walking the dogs or walking, I don't mean looking at your phone.
I Exactly.
I mean, looking at the views.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll set clients a task of taking me 3 pictures. So a couple of long distance and then a really kind of like a macro picture. I'll say, show me something. And the only reason I'm doing it is because I want them to start taking in their surroundings.
Yeah.
And not looking at their phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's key to look what's around you. You can miss so much.
Yeah.
You know, you can go through life with your head down in the phone and you might have missed a real opportunity because it's gone past you. It's walked past you.
Yeah.
Whether that be the love of your life just walked past you and you've just been looking at your phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's so simple to miss things.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it, I've got to say. You
Me
know.
Too.
And sometimes I'm even guilty of seeing my life through a lens, you know, taking a photograph all the time of, oh, look, you know, what we're doing. So, yeah, probably having technology-free days is a great idea. Or even a technology-free evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a space at home. It's my snug. And it's a technology-free area.
Yeah, perfect.
Nothing's allowed in it except for the human body. Or I don't mind taking a paperback book in.
Yeah.
But nothing that's going to
digital.
Be bright light digital, yeah.
Digital down, digital down.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't believe it. We've come to the end of our recording. I was just about to go into another story and I've looked at the clock and I'm like, no, we're finished. I can't believe it. I feel like I could talk forever. Helen, thank you for that.
I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. It's been great.
Thank you so, so much for being
here. Thank you for asking me.
You're welcome. And I'm sure that when we record some more, we'll have some more to talk about.
Yeah,
so remember that the connection between the mind and the body is really, really powerful, not to be dismissed. What we put into our stomachs will affect our mental health. What we put into our minds will affect our stomachs and vice versa. How we move, how we exercise, it's all connected. How can it not be connected? Of course it's connected.
Yeah, 100% connected. Yeah.
Without a doubt. I've got a little card at home that says, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again because it's really powerful. 2 words, healthy, helpful. Filter everything you see, hear, do, say, eat, experience through those 2 words. If it's not healthy, if it's not helpful, then get rid of it. And that could be watching something on TV that's really traumatic and it's making you feel anxious. Yes, it makes us feel excited, but it's also anxiety provoking.
It is.
And if you're suffering from high anxiety, get rid of it. I'm really
Step
sorry.
Away from that negativity, yeah.
I was hooked on Luther not too long back and I had to get to the end of it, but it was playing havoc with my anxiety.
I can't bear programs like that because I will go to bed and I'll think about it for days, weeks, months.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel it does me any favours.
No,
so.
Certainly doesn't. And it's the same for games. It's the same if we have too much alcohol, too much unhealthy food. The other word that I use quite a lot is balance. Keep everything in balance. There's a balance to life in everything that we do. So try and find your balance. If you're not feeling right, not thinking right, you're feeling unhealthy, then something is out of balance.
Yeah.
Again, Helen, thank you for that. That was brilliant. We are
going
to close off now. So remember that we are looking for your words of wisdom on subjects that you want covering. So please let us know if you want us to cover something. The podcasts are available at radionewark.co.uk. There's iOS and Android apps. Our contact info is Radio Newark's on 01636 678 033 or email studio@radionewark.co.uk. If anything resonates with you and you need to check it out, you can catch me on Facebook. Guthrie Therapy has its own Facebook page, so send me a private message on there. Till then, please, please be very, very kind to yourself because you are worth it. Take care. Bye-bye.